This is The Takeaway with Tanzina Vega.
The Sudanese military has arrested the country's longtime president, Omar Hassan al-Bashir. The defense minister announced on state television that a military council would oversee the country for the next 2 years. The move comes after months of demonstrations against al-Bashir in response to increasing food prices and a troubled economy. On April 6, tens of thousands of demonstrators surrounded army headquarters in the capital of Khartoum, demanding al-Bashir step down. The tide turned this week when members of the military joined demonstrators in opposition to al-Bashir. He had been in power since 1989. Ismail Kouchkouch is an independent Sudanese journalist who's been following these protests closely. Ismail, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Al-Bashir is out. He'd been in power for 30 years. What happens now that the military has arrested him?
Well, that's what remains to be seen. The military announced that it would establish a transitional council for 2 years, a state of emergency for 3 months. It has canceled off the constitution, dissolved government, both federal and state, and there is a 24-hour ban on air flight over Sudan and closing off of the borders. This is not what the protesters want. They did not want to see the replacement of one military man with another. But what comes up in the next few weeks is to be seen.
You have been covering this event at every turn. We appreciate you taking the time to call into the show. Tell us more, Ismail, about the origins of this movement. What was, we mentioned that food shortages and economic issues here, but why did people begin taking to the streets?
The protest started in December. It was triggered by the tripling of bread prices. Prices went from £1 to £3, and the inflation rate skyrocketed to 70%. That's what triggered the protest. But for a very long time, people have been discontent with the government, civil war in different parts of the country, authoritarian rule. There was talk about amending the constitution to allow Bashir to run for another term in 2020. And this is the fourth time in the past decade that we see major protests. It was in 2011 with the Arab Spring, in 2012 and 2013. Sudanese had reached a boiling point where they couldn't take it anymore. And that's why we see these protests.
We've seen many images of the protests and the protesters. Can you tell us about who some of these folks are? Who is at the forefront of these demonstrations?
The protests started with high school students, actually, in the northern town of Adbara, outside of Khartoum, who went to school and found out that the price of bread had tripled. Then it went to different parts of the country, different cities, and not just cities, but even villages and rural areas. Youth have been playing a major role, especially young women and college students. Women have been playing a very important role in leading the protest and speaking on behalf of the protest. Trade unions, we see the revival of the historical role of trade unions in Sudan. The Sudanese Professional Association, which is an independent trade union parallel to the government-sanctioned one, has been leading the organizing on the ground in Khartoum and elsewhere. So trade unions, women have been playing a very important role in these protests.
And you mentioned earlier that the military council was not the goal, ultimately, that these demonstrators wanted. What were they hoping would come out of these demonstrations?
People want to see the establishment of a transitional government where civilians play an important role. There was already a suggestion for a transitional government by the what is known as the Forces of Freedom and Change, which is an alliance of some of these independent trade unions and opposition political parties and youth groups to engage with the military to establish a transitional government. What the military seems to have done is basically establish a transitional government that it approves, that it wants, that safeguards its own people. And that is not what the goal of this wave of protest, according to organizers, is. People do not want to see a repetition of what had happened in neighboring countries like in Egypt, like in Libya, where military basically took over the efforts of the protests and the revolutions. So what we're seeing and what we're hearing is that protesters will continue to remain at the sit-in in front of the army headquarters in Khartoum and will still take to the streets.
We know that the U.S. had sanctioned the Sudanese government in the early 1990s. In the past couple of years, we changed course. Could this new change in the Sudanese government actually have an impact on U.S.-Sudanese relationships?
It's possible, and that remains to be seen. The U.S.'s main interest in Sudan really is security. The U.S. does not want to see Sudan become a new Libya or a new Yemen. For years, especially since 9/11, there's been security cooperation between the U.S. and Sudanese government. Sudan was slowly coming out of the cold, so to speak. The U.S. had sanctions and had listed it on as a state sponsor of terrorism, and there were talks to remove Sudan from that list. I think the U.S. will be closely looking with how it will cooperate with this new government in Khartoum with those issues in mind. Security, I think, is the main thing that the U.S. is looking at.
Ismail, we have a couple of seconds left. I'm just wondering if there, in addition to the military role that's there now, is there anyone who has been identified who could fill the vacuum now that al-Bashir is gone?
I don't think it's one person, but I think it's the collective opposition forces. Sudan has a long history of political parties, of independent groups, and I think as a collective, those are the groups that we could be looking at to take over in a civilian format. But there's not really one individual, so to speak.
Ismail Kouchkouch is an independent Sudanese journalist. Ismail, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.